And I'm absolutely delighted to be joined on the line by Alan Foley. And anybody in Cork will know Alan very well because Alan is the founder and artistic director of the Cork City Ballet. Alan, how are you today?
Hi, Orla. I'm good, thanks. Lovely to be on talking with you.
And it's my pleasure too. And I'm just so interested in your upcoming performance. But before we talk about all that, I just want to know, how are things going in the Cork City Ballet?
Good. Very good, actually. We are celebrating our 30th anniversary this year. So it's a very special production of Swan Lake. We decided to do Swan Lake because I think everyone associates ballet with Swan Lake. And I wanted to do something special. We have a gorgeous production of Swan Lake, so I wanted to bring it back to Cork audiences. So yeah, we're actually 32 years in existence.
My goodness.
Not 2 years because of COVID, as you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's a special time for us, and everybody is very excited about bringing this back to the Cork stages for Cork audiences.
And speaking of COVID, the dreaded COVID, how did you fare with it? Did you find it difficult to get back up on your feet again afterwards, or were people only delighted to be back dancing?
Everyone was delighted to be back dancing, but I mean, it was a very tough time, particularly for dancers, because, you know, unlike singers or actors who can, you know, drop their tools, their voice, their, you know, acting abilities, whatnot, dancers can't do that. They have to keep practicing every day. We have a saying in the ballet world that if you miss class one day, you know. If you miss class 2 days, your teacher knows. And if you miss class for 3 days, the public knows. And that's very true because, of course, our instrument is our body. And so that was very, very tough.
Yeah.
Everything just shut down for us. Like, closed doors, goodbye, toodaloo, not happening for 2 years.
Yeah.
We had a sort of a rough opening, and we lasted, I think we got 2 weeks, and then it closed again. And so, like, we had no productions for 2 years. That was very, very difficult. Last year we came back with Nutcracker and at Cork Opera House, and, you know, we were very first tentative, and everyone was still sort of worried about, you know, but of course we sold out a week before we opened, and you know, people were delighted to be back.
Yeah.
In the theatre. We were met, you know, the production was met, you know, with a resounding success, and we were delighted with that. So yeah, it was a tough time,
of course.
But, you know, onwards and upwards, and, you know, there's really nothing else. It was, you know, it was awful for everyone.
For sure. And it's so interesting what you say there about, you know, a dancer's tool is their body and they must keep it in tune. And you will know this from years and years of dancing that, you know, it is so important for them to keep on practicing every day. And I never heard that phrase that you'd said before, but it makes an awful lot of sense about one class, two class, three classes. And
it's funny because a lot of people think that this just happens, you know, that we arrive at the theatre and actually look at them, aren't they lovely, and pretty good at the ballet, and Asher, he's a lovely ballet dancer, that it just happens, something that we do in our spare time sort of thing. And you're like, no, it's not like that at all.
No,
you know, we've trained very long, for many years as a doctor or a lawyer, and we continue to train every single day to bring what you see on the stage, i.e. the final product. And of course, the most important thing, the whole art of it, as you know, is making it look easy.
Absolutely, making it look easy. And I mean, I'm sure that, you know, anybody who leaves the theatre after seeing one of your performances, you know, is pirouetting out of the front doors. But like, because they think they'd be able to do that. But if you actually watch what training goes into becoming a ballet dancer, it is incredible.
Well, I always bring it back to this, Orla. You know, if you can imagine lifting an 8-stone ballerina up over your head and taking her for a spin around the stage, you
yeah.
know, like, how's that going to go for you?
Exactly. And not just like lifting her up and putting her down, sometimes carrying her, you know, quite a long way and doing it every night.
And doing it with a smile on your face,
yeah.
You know, making it feel, oh, this is something I do all the time. Because again, unlike athletes who can sort of, you know, spit and they can do the divil in a bag and they can do the huffing and the puffing, like, you can't do that on stage. Like, it's very funny. If you were ever backstage in a ballet production, when you see the dancers walking upstage with their back to the audience, and you see them going, and then they turn around and put a smile on their face again. It's really interesting to see.
It is.
All the tidbits about backstage, yeah. Yeah.
And it's pure professionalism then as well, because they're not letting the audience know, you know, that how difficult it is. And like you said, they make it look easy.
Yeah, and that breaks the spell of the magic, you know, because, of course, that's what theatre, as you know, is all about.
Sure. I mean,
the lights, the costumes, the music, the beautiful dancing and, you know, bringing it all together. And I think that's one of the reasons why I like ballet so much, or dance. Because it really does, it is a collective of all of those elements. And, you know, when they are sort of finely tuned and, you know, like stunning costumes, and we're very lucky, you know, we have some of the most incredible costumes that were all made in Russia, both at the Bolshoi and the Mariinsky Theatre in St. Petersburg. And, you know, it's just incredible to see all of it come together. Mm. The dancing, the music, the lights,
It's absolutely stunning. And you've been busy, you know. I mean, I'm just reading about your book, the Cork City Ballet, the story so far. You don't just sort of rest on your laurels ever, Alan. As long as I've known you, you're always doing something, looking forward to something. And how is the sales of the book going?
That was the second book, Cork City Ballet, the story so far. The first one was Ballet Through the Lens with Irish ballerina Monica Lockman. We did that way back in 2006.
Yeah.
And then the following year, we brought out the Magic of Ballet DVD, which we had great fun filming with Framework Film Studios and Wildacre Productions. And then I had major heart surgery in 2008, which is when I stopped dancing. And I was at home convalescing, and I thought, what will I do? I'm going to be bored. But I don't know, I'll write a book. So I did.
Which I love about you. It's always like, right, what can I do next? What am I looking forward to? Even though I am recovering from major heart surgery, you know.
No, it's really lovely. You know, sometimes when those royalty checks come in from Ethan.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure it is.
Lovely.
And the thing is, you know, during lockdown, that's all people could do was read. So I hope you got a few sales during lockdown as well to counteract your...
I think at the moment I'm on about my fifth offer now.
Wow.
Ghostwriters wanting to do my story. But I just think to myself, who'd be interested, really?
Alan, we'd all be interested. And this is the thing, you know, we would love... I mean, if you're getting offers from people to write your story...
I'm up to five at the moment.
Amazing.
And I keep saying no. And it's funny because, you know, the more I say no, the more someone is after me to do it. So I might bite the bullet, but I think at the moment I'm still a little bit too young, maybe down the line.
Absolutely, you are young, and
I also believe if you're going to do it, Orla, that you got to give it warts and all.
You do.
Overall picture, and you know, like there were some times it all sounds nice and rosy, and look at the little boy from Crosshaven that went to Russia, and wasn't he lovely and all that. I mean, there was an awful lot of those parts and bits that were not lovely at all. You know?
And I met you, first of all, in the Sunshine Dance Group down in Fountainstown when you were the superstar, and we used to do our disco dancing with Helen on a Saturday.
Yeah, such great memories.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Fabulous. I didn't go on to become, you know, a famous ballerina at all, just putting that out there. I can throw a few shapes on the dance floor, but that's about it.
But listen, Orla, Helen was the joy of a teacher. And, I mean,
she was.
This was our background. And then I go to Russia and I find myself being, you know, sort of hit and poked and prodded and kicked and do this and do that. And, you know, the teacher, lift your leg up and then standing underneath your leg and don't you dare drop that leg. And you're thinking, oh my God. And every fiber of your being is shaking. You're like, oh, I can't drop the leg because, you know, the teacher is standing underneath my leg. And if I drop, But, you know,
incredible. See, that's why people want to hear your story, Alan, because, you know, you are such an amazing person, you know, and with your wit and your charm and you're a very funny man. And, you know, I'm sure you could tell that story fantastically.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what.
We'll see.
Never say never.
Well, give me a scoop if you are going to do it. Is that a deal?
Absolutely.
So listen, we're chatting. We could chat to you for hours. But tell us about this amazing production that's happening. How can people go to see it? And your guest artists as well, who play Odile and Odette and Prince Siegfried and everything. Tell us all about it.
Okay, So we open at the Cork Opera House on Thursday the 2nd of November for four performances. So we've got three evening performances, Thursday night, Friday night and Saturday night at 8 o'clock. And then we have a matinee on Saturday at 2:30. Now, I will say booking is, the last time we did Swan Lake, we sold out 11 days before we opened.
Wow.
If anyone wants tickets for Swan Lake, my advice to you is get them quick because they are going like hotcakes. We have two fabulous guest artists from, she's the prima ballerina of the Sofia State Ballet in Georgia, and he is her partner both on and off stage. And they came last year to do Nutcracker, and they were a great success, so I brought them back this year for Swan Lake. We have, they will be supported by soloists and a full corps de ballet of magnificent dancers from all around the world, including some stunning Irish dancers, ballet dancers as well. And all of that, of course, is wrapped up in Tchaikovsky's glorious score. I mean,
beautiful,
it's
yeah.
Better.
You really couldn't. And I'd say, you know, it's going to be jammed to the rafters, Alan. And, you know, it's always such a pleasure to talk to you. And, you know, once this show is done, have you something else in the pipeline? Are you always moving forward, always looking to do something else?
We're always thinking about what we would like to do. The downside of that is, ballet is expensive. It's an expensive art form because, I mean, for example, last year in Nutcracker there was a cast of 56. Now, yes, 26 of them are children, but there's still 30 professional dancers alone that need to be paid, all the backstage crew. You know, they're all professional people. We don't, and we haven't been supported by the Arts Council of Ireland since 2011. So that's really tough. We have some funding from Cork City Council and we have a few private sponsors. But we're always on the lookout for people who would like to sponsor the ballet because, you know, if we could get a sponsor, like a really good long-term sponsor, we can do wonderful things.
Sure.
We can bring ballet, you know, all over the country like we used to. We can't tour anymore because it's just too expensive.
And what happened with the Arts Council? Is it just something that happened or can you talk about it or...?
Yeah, through the grapevine, I heard that they believe, well, not only through the grapevine, that what I do is old and tired. They're not interested in classical ballet.
What?
Really? Yeah, if I brought the swans in, perhaps on roller skates or on horseback.
Oh, God.
But, like, I'm not going to do that. That's not what I'm trained to do. I don't want to do that. You know, why would a ballerina train all her life to dance up on point and not use it? So I'm afraid, as I refer to the Arts Council of Dublin, myself, have a very sort of a tumultuous relationship. But now I don't bother. I
yeah.
stay away from it.
Well, you know, it's such a shame because, you know, you're bringing, I don't think that your ballet, you're bringing the classic ballet to people, you know, and...
More or less, and it runs for 250 years and in my
yeah.
opinion, it will be here.
It will.
250 years, you know, like it's tried and tested. It sells out all over the world, all of these glorious, these masterpieces, you know, Swan Lake, Sleeping Beauty, The Nutcracker, you know, they're all there. It's a bit like Everest. They're there to be climbed and to be, you know, shown to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And I always find that in my career, in my opinion, I've always found that people who can do, do. And people who cannot do, talk about it.
Yeah.
So very often I've come across people who are extolling the virtues of the dichotomies and the polarities of, you know, the upside down and the art form. And I'm like, huh? What?
Mm.
Like, Picasso didn't do that. He painted his pictures. He put them on the wall and he said, have a look at them and see what you think.
Yeah, exactly.
All the great artists did that. Monet, you know, Matisse, they all did that. Have a look there and see what you think.
And there's a place for everything. You know, if you want to have the new modern shows, then fine, do that. But you still, I believe, and I'm so, I agree with you 100% that there's a place for these performances, most definitely.
If you want to do Swan Lake and have the entire corps de ballet naked and bring them on horseback or on skis, no bother, off you go, toodaloo. I wouldn't be into it. It's not my gig. It's not what I'm trained to do. But, you know, we remain positive, Orla.
For sure.
Thing. Like, I have a brilliant team around me that have mm-hmm. been working with me for 30 years, and I'm so lucky with that team because we all work brilliantly together. Like Pat Crosby, Yuri Demikov, my choreographer, Janet Dillon, you know, there's a massive team, Colette McNamee, and it's just brilliant working with them. And I think we still manage to do Joan Denise Moriarty and Aloys Fleischman proud. by carrying on the mantle that those two incredible people, you know, managed to, like, what they managed to achieve in their time was incredible. And I'm very proud to be able to say that we are continuing their, those traditions today.
And so well said, Alan. And here at CRY, we wish you continued success. And thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me. And I'm sure it's going to be an absolute sellout. So thanks a million, Alan.
Thanks, Orla.
Thanks.
Bye.